Welcome to Justifying the Effort, everybody.
And the effort is standing for your 40s and 50s, living your best life.
I feel like we're trying our best to live our best life.
Yeah, it's day by day.
It's a struggle. Struggle's real.
Yeah, guys.
Right? Sometimes
we're still here kicking, and so we got to be doing something
Sometimes your best life might be a boring life some days, and some days it might be exciting, but you just you take it all in stride, right?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of being day by day, we are one day late on our episode.
Yes, we apologize, but
there's a first time for everything.
Yeah, we almost lost the QB.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so Saturday night, we went with some friends to go see Eric Church, which was a ton of fun. Big thank you to Brian, Mindy, and Troy and Holly for inviting us out. We had a ton of fun.
So much fun.
Went into it with a pretty clear slate because I wasn't a...
Yeah, guys, I mean, that is a whole genre of music, but it was America.
It was America.
And it was everything right.
And he put on a fantastic show. I mean, he lit it up. It was one of the better concerts I think I've been to as far as just pure musicianship and just getting after it. Like they crushed it.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah. The whole band, incredible performers and a ton of fun too. I mean, it was good. It was America.
America.
And we love America.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was.
And I will say this, because we go to a lot of concerts, and one huge difference is country fans, they stand the whole entire concert, even if they have a seat.
And they love it.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was drenched in beer because people were dancing with their beer by then. And I was like, I think I was just sticky.
And you made a bad shoe choice.
Yeah. I made a bad shoe choice.
So you may or may not have been barefoot in a sea of beer.
Yeah. It was okay, guys. I was all in.
You may have got a secondhand drunk from having it absorbed through my feet.
But Quinn was like a bad you know, senior prom date. Like you just went downhill.
I went downhill. and that was, I started feeling a little on the ill side of things. I fevering slightly by the end of the night. And so by the time we got home, I was having massive like stomach cramping and,
I got the menstrual cramps real bad.
How do you know you're a woman, son? Well, sometimes I get the menstrual cramps real bad. If you haven't seen Raising Arizona, maybe pause the podcast.
And go watch it.
Go watch Raising Arizona because it's...
She just wants a baby to hold.
She just wants another baby to hold. It's one of the greatest movies ever done. And it's probably...
I think Nicolas Cage's best.
Yeah, I'd say it's Nicolas Cage's swan song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's been downhill from there. But... Raising Arizona is almost perfect.
Yes.
So anyway, I get home, lay in bed, and I wake up probably an hour later in just the chills, and then I'm sweating.
Are they multiplying?
Yes. And I was literally my bowels were losing control.
And the power?
And the power when I threw up was intensifying.
Yeah. Was it electrifying?
Yeah. Because you got to get up.
Cause I need him. He's looking at me like, no. Yeah.
Anywho. So Sunday I was still recovering.
I don't think we saw much of Quinn. It was like, he just came out and would be like, oh
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sunday I was recovering. So we made the,
and he said, he was like, I think I'm good. And I was like, babe, I think that if we record the episode, you're not going to remember anything you said, and you could be in, I mean, we're always alike out there, you know, but maybe, yeah.
I did watch like 4 hours of Ancient Aliens, so it could have,
You got brushed up.
I got brushed up on my doctrine. So anyway, that's why we're a day late. So we apologize. Our whole goal ever since we started was to stay consistent no matter what. So we are consistent no matter what. We're just a day late.
We're a day late.
And I will tell you folks, especially any of you folks that are parents out there.
Are you saying folks? Because we went to country
concert.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
But as you all know, it is springtime and it is on like Donkey Kong.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is like, I feel like this is the time of year that it is. I feel like we have every second, but I'm going to jump back because I want to tell my story. Quinn's like jumping ahead.
Oh, okay. You are.
So mine is, I told all of you guys about how I got back starting working out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You forgot this. Anyway. So just so you guys know, I was speaking of consistency, really trying to stay consistent with my workouts. And, I like one day I just like wasn't feeling super great. And I told Quinn, I'm like, I have like this rash on my back. Like maybe it's eczema. He sent it a picture to our neighbor and,
our neighbor's a dermatologist. Yes. I just don't send random pictures.
This could
check out my wife,
check
bro.
Check this out, her rash. Anyway. So I think just from my body, just going into overdrive, came down with shingles. So there you go. Yeah. So
Megan had a moment of being like, you know, this F word stuff, this 40 business, ever since I've been 40, I've had hip surgery, a hysterectomy, and now I have shingles. Yeah. Like, she's like, F this 40 effing stuff.
Like, I know. I was like, yeah. So that was like beginning of last week, but doing a million times better.
Yeah. And you're justifying your F word. So
yes,
it's your 40s are coming along.
Yeah.
So, and I applied the ointment and did not contract shingles. I know
every time I'm like, go wash your hands. But yeah. So anyway, like Quinn was saying, we are at the end of the school year. I feel like our calendar, it is every second is jam packed in there.
Yeah. For example, we have our anniversary is coming up next week and we've been trying to figure out a night that we can just get away. And it's looking like it's going to like be midweek, mid-June.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
guys, if you are planning a wedding out there, it was one, we were young, so young.
So naive.
And we got married 2 days after Quinn's birthday, which happened
2 days before.
2 days before. Yes, you're right. And then it is always in the same vicinity as Mother's Day. So a lot of times they'll overlap or be like 3 days, like boom, 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 boom. So don't recommend that. So just if you are, you know, planning a wedding, getting remarried, whatever it is, just, you know, give a little space.
Yeah. Speaking of planning, I swear the summer's already over.
Yeah. Like we were talking about, cause Quinn this last week was like, I just feel like I'm in a rut. Like, you know, like I just, you know, and I'm like, babe, we cannot fit in. I mean, we're going on a bunch of like little family trips this summer and stuff. I'm like, I went through the whole thing and it is until September. I'm like, we have this like literally every weekend. The kids have this, you know, jam packed. Yeah, so summer's over.
I don't know how that happened,
yeah,
but
it
did. And I will say I'm done with springtime, like mud season.
It's mud.
Yeah.
Mud.
I feel like I am seasonally depressed. I need the sun to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right.
All right. Well, let's kick off the episode because we got some good stuff to talk about today.
Yeah. So this episode, Quinn and I got talking. We always, you know, start of the week, just so you kind of can see the layout. We're like, hey, what are you feeling? We have a list of stuff that we kind of either people have suggested or we, you know, we're constantly, you know, writing down so we have ideas.
Yeah. And with that being said, if there's anything you'd ever like to hear us rant about, you know,
Quinn and Megan rant about?
Feel free to either shoot us a message via social media or any of our platforms. But yeah.
Yeah. So early last week, probably Monday, Quinn asked, he was like, hey, like, what are you thinking this week? Because sometimes we have like a list of stuff and ideas, but it's not really like we're not feeling you know, the groove of that. And so this last week, I like to say it was inspired on one of my runs. That's where I do my best thinking. Quinn in the hot tub, me running, you know, and the subject matter today that we want to discuss is never say never. So with this, and we'll kind of go in of how it came about, you know, into this episode, but a quick story was when I first was pregnant with our oldest.
Knocked up.
Yeah, Quinn's mom pulled me aside. It was actually before my baby shower. And she said, hey, you're going to get all this advice from so many people. Because you do. Like, before you have a kid, everyone's like, you got to do this. You got to do cloth diaper. Da-da-da-da-da. And she said,
got to breastfeed for six years.
And she said, this is my one word of advice, is she said, never say never. And I was like, okay. And she's like, no, seriously, because, and I've seen, you know, we're 15 and a half years into this parenting thing. And there are many times that in my life, I was like, I remember before I had kids, you see that kid at the grocery store, right? And they're having a full tantrum. And I'm like, you know, or the parents begging, you know, or the kids begging for a treat. And the mom finally freaks out. I was like, fine, you know? And I was like, I will never have kids like that. They'll be well behaved. And I think that you approach, you know, things, you know, as we had multiple kids, I approached, remember being at the grocery store being like, oh my gosh, I'm that mom. And now I can see everything that like led up to that point.
You're the one that's like, fine. Yeah. Have the candy bar. Here you go.
Yeah. It's like, I remember Quinn one time I was at work and it was our youngest was a baby. This is Sam's Club.
Oh yeah.
This is where Logan blew out his diaper. And so you went in and like Olivia, our middle, ran off and then Sienna couldn't find him. And you came out and it was like two girls were crying and the baby and you were like, I just left.
I'm like, I just packed up.
Yeah.
There was no coming back from that.
Yeah. So we're going to go in more a deep dive into never say never. But part of it was just my thought process of, if you are out there and have kids, little kids, big kids, grandkids, no kids, whatever it is, it's one of those of looking, of saying, hey, this will never happen to me or my kids will never be this way, is in a way kind of get off of your high throne. You sit on a throne of lies.
You smell like beef and cheese.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those that I think as soon as you do that, you don't have control over everyone. Sometimes not even yourself in certain situations.
Well, and I think environmentally as well, you don't have control over every aspect of how that kid is, what they're going to be exposed to and how they're going to develop based off of friends, experiences, and education.
There are things that in my head probably never like verbalize that I'm like, oh, I will never allow my kid to do this. And then it would be the kind of deal that I think as you grow being a parent, especially looking at this exact subject matter of being a parent, is I think you learn empathy. Like you learn like, oh, I sat over here and was like, oh, that parent's so out of control or whatever. And then you realize you're like, oh, okay. Now I can see I've been put in a situation to be humbled.
Yeah. One thing I find rather comical is it seems like, you know, as we've grown a little bit older into the tooth, longer into the tooth. And
I'm not as old. Hey, which by the way, it is Quinn's birthday month.
Yes.
Yes.
We did dance around the maypole.
Yeah.
Which by the way, you know, I'm from the Midwest and May Day was a big deal. And I remember I moved out West and nobody had any idea.
Yeah, Quinn
nobody knew about May Day baskets or dancing around the maypole.
Quinn was like, how come we don't do that out West? And I was like,
I'm like, do you guys not celebrate Scandinavian like pagan rituals like we do?
What was my answer? I said, people you went to high school with still believed in fairies and like Yeah.
Don't piss off the fairies. You've seen...
Odin.
You've seen... what was it? Eurovision.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. That's true.
I'll give you back your little knife now. The elves, right? So anyway, you know, I think Kimming, I can remember, you know, having... before we had kids or when you were first pregnant, just talking about like, oh, we'd never do this. Or, you know what? We'll always give them vegetables before candy. And that way that's what they'll crave. And it's just so funny because life is a blender, right? And I think you basically throw yourself into it and it's going to come out the way it's going to come out.
Well, and I will say with kids is you do, there is things that are environmentally formed like from you, but there are things that they come with their own personality. And I think being a parent, I remember before we had kids, I'm like, it's going to be all about what I'm going to teach our kids. And I honestly think part of having kids, or if it's taking care of a pet or taking care of a loved one, is a lot of it is to learn about yourself.
Yeah. And that's the next step we want to talk about, because I mean, we wanted to bring up kids as an example because it's such a, such a thing that people draw such a hard line on, or I'm never going to do this, or I'll always do this. And then you're just humbled.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying is kind of in a way is don't judge, you know, and I've had people like step in and they'll make like judgy comments and probably not in my best interest, but a lot of times we'll just be like, cool, I didn't know that you birthed my child and you know them better than I do. You know, it's just kind of deal, because I look at it and I'm like, you know, we're all trying, and I believe that in my heart, trying to navigate and do our best. So it's just one of look at people and realize, be like, hey, I might not ever have that with my kid or in my life, but realize, again, we've talked about staying in your lane. Mm-hmm. Don't judge people and never say never. Don't be like, oh, never. You know, it's one of those, you don't know when life is going to humble you and make it so you're like, oh, I understand.
Yeah. And you know, with that being said, like I mentioned before, we had all these preconceived notions of how we were going to raise our kids and how we were going to do it. And I would say for the most part, they've all been blown up, you know, because every kid's been different.
Well, and I mean, okay, for example, is Quinn and I like both love sports and, you know, played sports, super athletic. And I honestly never dreamed like, oh, I'm going to have this like kid that's going to be Olympic athlete or whatever. I just figured, I was like, oh, we both love sports. It's our passion. And our oldest, it is not her thing. And that is like, it is totally like, at first we were like, okay, what is your thing? And she loves to read. She
loves art.
She loves art. And it has been awesome because it's learning about this whole new thing and joining in. And not that I'm becoming like super artistic, but it's one that I'm like, okay, I want to read the books that you're reading. I want to find that. And so they come out the way that they are. And I'm not going to put that on, you know, her of saying, well, this was my thing, so now it's your thing because I have this dream for you.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be in her best interest.
So as parenting, you know, we obviously.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But we obviously have been humbled and realized like, hey, you know, never say never. We have to move. But the next portion of this episode that we want to dive into is yourself.
You're going to dive into yourself? How do you do that?
I don't even know how to answer that.
I feel like you had something smart to say, but I'm just saying.
No, but so we talk a ton about living our best life on this. And we talk a lot about, you know, justifying the F word, meaning that you're willing to get out there and live your best life in your 40s and 50s. So part of that and living your best life is being open to new experiences and opportunities. And just like Megan mentioned with having kids is, you know, there came a point where we originally started out so rigid with a huge ideology on how our kids were going to grow up and how they were going to be. And that got shattered really quick. And the same thing has been happening.
Well, and I think part of it was that we had to embrace their own personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we talked about.
Well, and I think part of justifying the F word and being in your 40s and 50s is embracing your own
yes
personality. So really, in life, you know, you get out of it what you're willing to tolerate. So if you're willing to tolerate like, hey, here's where I'm at, this is it, and I'm along and I'm going to try and stay in this lane and I'm never, then that's what you're going to tolerate. That's what you're going to receive. But if you're open to new opportunities, then it can really expand your horizon.
Yeah. And remember that in life, we can try and guide that outcome. You can try, you know, and there are things that you can.
Just like with your kids, right?
Yeah.
There's certain directions you can point them in.
Yeah, it's not saying like, oh yeah, everything is going to go out the door, but we can never control all of it. You can't, you know, and that is just part of it, of you being you and making decisions or things happening, environmental, whatever it may be. In most cases, you almost have no control over certain things in your life.
Yeah. For example, we refer to it in our family as the brown curse.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't
like to this point now, like we literally will not let Quinn pick the line.
I legitimately, somewhere I did have a relative burned in the Salem witch trial. So I don't know if they cursed all of our future. I don't know if,
what did they say as they were being burned is like every brown will have to stand in line.
We didn't burn anybody. We got burned. Right?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
So I don't know if some puritanical preacher back in the 1700s declared a curse on my family, but it has definitely come out in the form of lines. So meaning if I go to the bank,
he's talking about
if I go to the grocery store,
yeah.
If I go to
the airport,
if I choose the line, like for example, we mentioned we were coming back from the Dominican Republic. One guy in front of us in customs line, he ends up getting arrested, shuts down the whole line.
And it happens every time. Like literally we'll walk up and Quinn will just stand there. And he will wait for me to make the decision.
Yeah, it'll be somebody will be trying to buy beer with a like WIC welfare card, yeah. Or it will be like, or somebody arguing that, it's just every line I get in just shuts down. It's my curse, and there's nothing I can do to control it. I could go to every single line. And the one I would pick would move the slowest.
And it would be the shortest too.
Yeah.
You could pick the shortest.
So I cannot determine my outcome at all. At all.
Yeah. But you will let me sometimes make the choice to hopefully have the odds in your favor.
So one thing I think is really interesting as far as being open to change, like we talked about, you know, you get humbled. You know, you say never, never, and then you get totally humbled and realize that there is change. But Tim Ferriss said, and I really like this, he said, people would rather be unhappy than uncertain.
For sure. And I think that's a lot of times why people, I've been guilty of it, you've been guilty of it, staying at a job way too long. Because you're like, I'm unhappy, but I'm certain of this job. Where, I mean, if you've ever jumped to a new field, a new job, that moment of that uncertainty it's crazy, but you're in that hope of finding that happiness, right?
Yeah. It's almost like you'd rather be on cruise control and misery.
Yeah.
Than reach out and try something different.
Yeah.
Which absolutely crazy because you know,
but I think we all do it to a point.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's security.
It's like, you know, little kids playing tag. Like you found your base and you're like, I'm safe here, you know. And so stepping off of base is kind of like, okay, uncertain. I might get tagged.
Well, and, you know? And I want to be clear too. Sometimes uncertainty doesn't necessarily equal happiness.
No, no.
I mean, we've rolled the dice.
We have.
Yeah. And things haven't maybe worked out the way we've expected it, but at least we can say we tried.
Yeah.
But there's been times we've rolled the dice and it's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this really goes down to how do you know you will like it or you won't like it unless you try it? And for example, our son, I mean, I'll let you tell the story.
Yeah. So our son, and this is one of those that before we had kids, Quinn and I were always like, we're not going to have a kid that's a picky eater. And I will say our girls, phenomenal. They'll
savants.
Eat, yeah. They'll eat everything.
Cultured spicy palates.
Whatever. And then baby boy came And that kid, like,
as we tell him all the time when we're picking out what we're going to eat, we're like, you have no vote.
Yeah, you have no vote. And just to kind of sum up his favorite food, and we have exposed him to everything. And so, but his favorite food is Uncrustables. And so
he likes them frozen.
Yeah. And so I was going to say is most people is like, oh, those aren't bad. But you're like, no, if they are warmed up. No, he likes a frozen popsicle sandwich. That is our kid. That is
in a bag.
In a bag.
Oh my gosh.
And if I can find the ones that have like the Nutella in it, like it is golden. And so I remember we had this face off years ago. I think it was probably like 3.5, 4.
Oh yeah.
And our whole rule is I'm not going to make you eat a whole plate, but you're going to, whatever we're having for dinner, unless it, every once in a while we'll make something super spicy because the girls, Quinn and I, like spice. And I'm like, okay, I get it. 9-year-old's not going to dig spiciness. But especially with the vegetables or salad, I'm like, you have to eat one bite. And we had this hoedown with broccoli.
Yeah, it was broccoli again. At the-
yeah, he sat there for over an hour. And I was like, you just have to eat one piece of broccoli. And I think it was like my breaking point. And I wish we might still have the video of it. But anyway, he finally was like, okay. And he's just sobbing and just crying. And we're like, just one bite, dude. You guys just have to take one bite of a broccoli. He's like, I hate it. And Quinn would always say, you don't know. You've never had broccoli. Like if you'd had it and you'd had an opinion, like it's like we all have a few things that we're just like, yeah, that's a no-go.
Yeah, tomatoes are the devil's fruit.
Yeah, well, they're delicious. But anyway,
they're noxious weed.
Anyway, so he is sobbing, just snot running down, and finally he puts the broccoli in and he instantly like pretends to like upchuck this piece of broccoli. And he's like dry heaving and he's just sobbing.
Continues to chew.
And then it just goes like tears, everything just stop. And he looks at us. He's like, this is really good.
Well, he was still crying and he's like, I actually like this. This is good.
It's so, it is one of those that when he draws a hard line of being like, I can't even remember what we had the other.
I would like to say it's changed, but tonight we had Kung Pao chicken with noodles.
Yeah.
Delicious, right?
It was good.
The kid lives off of ramen and he's like, I don't want that. And I'm like, dude, you're going to like this. And he's like, I don't want it.
Yeah. And he just has this opinion.
Anyway, same deal. Almost dry heaves. And then he's like, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But if you close yourself off, then that's the result you're going to get.
And we can say, Logan, we had him try sushi. We went to teppanyaki and family.
Yeah, we almost barbecued barf across the teppanyaki.
Yeah, he did get it in and he did throw up sushi. So that is a no-go. And so I'm like, buddy, you tried it.
He made it into, Megan luckily got a napkin.
I got a napkin, like full hand of it. So anyway, we digress is... Don't be where you're so rigid that you're like, I don't like it without trying it.
Yeah.
Like,
and you don't want to be the 4-year-old crying at the table while eating broccoli saying, I actually think this is kind of good. Yeah. So basically declaring that you will never go try, do something is essentially the same thing as saying no to all the experiences that life has to offer.
Yeah. And I mean, this is not saying that everything goes out the door. You have your morals. You have other things. There are things that are a hard no. We're talking about just situations that are experiences that are going to bring value that you don't know unless that you try.
For example, you know, I'm not the for example, the country music I like, besides some kind of fringe, more like alt country stuff. The stuff I like is old, like, you know, like 60s, 70s country, which I guess really isn't that old, but like, that's the stuff I like. So being flexible and saying, yeah, I'll go check out an Eric Church concert. And I loved it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome. Huge fan. Yeah.
And I, you know, I've done the same thing with other opportunities on things that I was like, hey, I don't think I'm necessarily going to be 100% into this and really enjoyed it. But the whole point was having an open mind.
Yeah, for sure. And I think especially with music, Quinn and I love to go to concerts. And through his work, we have the opportunity to go into a lot of them. And it is the kind of deal. There's been a lot of bands that we're like, not really that into, and gone and just been blown away.
Well,
instead of just saying,
Yeah, I can remember seeing Five for Fighting in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're a band that's still on the radio. I'm like, I'm not that.
But live,
they're phenomenal.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah, we both walked away and we're like, that was amazing.
But it was just the willingness to go, try, or do. And I've done that with food, opportunities, places I've traveled, things that I wouldn't thought that I would have enjoyed that I absolutely loved. This, for example, when we had Corey and Amber Holker on this podcast, you know, they talked about going to a salsa dancing class or things that they thought maybe they would like, but at least they were willing to try it.
Yes.
Yes. So there's nothing wrong with changing your mind and being flexible. I think a lot of times we look at that as maybe we're turning our back on an ideology, because like we've talked about before, and you know, this isn't a new concept, but you know, the way you are is really determined by the environment that you grow up in. That's everything from political views to religion to how you want to spend Christmas, you know, or different traditions or what have you. It really comes down to how you are environmentally formed, but there's nothing wrong with changing your mind and being flexible. It's just like we talked about with kids. Like, you know, you might have a preconceived notion of how they're going to be. You're going to have a preconceived notion of how you're going to be, but living in extremes, like only black and white all the time, isn't healthy either. And, you know, I think we can just look back at history.
Yeah.
For example, like you look at people who were burned at the stake for scientific opinions. Or you look at different moments where people have had such a rigid ideology and how that ideology was not right.
Yeah, I mean, it was back in the day, if you were a woman that had an opinion, they were like, she's a witch. Yeah. What? No. Not with a W.
Oh.
W, not a B, a W.
Well, I
just got this look and I was like, witch.
Well, once again, talking about there's nothing wrong with changing your mind and not living in total black and white. I think it's very unfair that we look back at history with such, you know, especially right now, like politically and everything, people look back at history with such contempt and judgment. And instead of looking back at history with such contempt and judgment, they don't look at the fact of how much we've evolved.
Yeah, I think that is why understanding history, I mean, Quinn is, he's a nonfiction reader. I am a fiction. I need a good story. But both of our favorites are historical fiction and nonfiction. And part of that is learning about history. It's hard. It's sad. It's, you know, it's scary at times to see things that have happened, but it also gives perspective to look at it and be like, holy crap, we have come so far. And, you know, we have so many freedoms that, you know, unless you understood history, you're not going to have any baseline to look at and say, okay, yeah, let's keep growing. Let's keep, you know, becoming better, if it's as a country, in your community, whatever it is. But if you don't have a baseline, then there's no measurement.
Yeah. And also, if you think about like from a historical standpoint too, like change was really controlled by theocracies, and meaning that like if you stepped out with a different opinion, you had the chance of being killed, or if you spoke out against
like the women being burned. I'm not going to say what they were being accused of, obviously,
but my point is the fact that there were people who were willing to put forth change, and because that, we've become more flexible and we've evolved as a society. So people give, you know, don't be so quick to judge history, because not everybody had the choice or the chance to express themselves. And the people who did put it all out on the line, and you never know how you would have played out in that environment either. So I think it's important that we look at where we're at now, as opposed to everything that was ever done wrong in the past.
Well, and I think, for example of that is, you know, I grew up, took history in high school, and it was one that I was like, oh, it's so boring. Like, I didn't like it. And then as an adult, you know, found that love of, you know, learning about history. And so in high school and kind of growing up, I always saw things as black and white. So I looked at it and I was like, oh, if you were, let's say, like a Nazi, like an officer, I was like, they're all bad. You know, and yeah, they did bad things. Like, I'm not discrediting that. That is not. But I think as learning about history is, okay, well, now I'm going to look at this and say, okay, they're going to like kill your family. Okay, what are you going to do?
You're being pressed into service.
Yeah, and it's easy to sit in your nice warm house when you have food and all of this. And so I'm not saying that I have the answer, but it gives a different perspective and a little bit more understanding of really what happened, instead of it being so rigidly like black and white. I'm not saying that I would have like enlisted as a Nazi, but it is understanding that it wasn't necessarily every single one of those 18-year-old boys
had a choice. Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
for sure.
That was a tangent.
But like I said, the beauty is with where we're at now is, you know, we've evolved as a society.
Yes.
And we've evolved into an area where, you know, we do have so many great freedoms that, you know, we have the chance to continue to evolve. So saying never is like chaining yourself or depriving yourself from something. So, you know, saying like, I'm not willing to do this is really shutting off parts of the world to you or opportunities.
Yeah. And I think that you can say never too. And I think having that ideology where you are, let's say like you met someone that has a whole different walk of life and you have your opinion and it's a black and white opinion, you might not change your ideology, but are you so chained to it that you're not willing to have a conversation to understand?
Or to be intellectually honest. Like it's like no different than a 4-year-old saying, well, just because.
Yeah, or and that's what I'm saying.
Shouldn't say 4-year-old, I should say a teenager.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, are you so stuck? Are you so chained to that you can't have a open conversation? And I think
See things for what they are.
Yeah, and I think right now on both sides all over, it's that way that we can't have open conversations at all. Like if that's political, anything of that, because we're so chained to being like, it's this way and I'm never going to change my opinion. And when you kind of go about that and not try, you know, as Atticus Finch said, is just sink yourself into someone else's shoes and see, you know, walk around for a little bit, what it's about.
Yeah. Well, Lao Tzu, if you will, great philosopher, said life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. So stuff's going to come your way. Like don't push away the changes that are coming. Let reality be reality. Let things flow naturally forward in whatever way they like. So it's so funny because I had this conversation with a friend the other day that was back in the dating pool, and they were freaking out about a date that was coming up. And my advice, and this may or may not have been my go-to conversation when the whole commitment thing got brought up when I wore a younger man's clothes.
This wasn't with a teenager?
It could have been that too. But
no, I was going to say said teenager. No.
No, it wasn't said teenager.
Okay.
But my point that I had was, hey, and for any of you out there, you're welcome to take this and borrow this.
I'm nervous
this is why. So I grew up next to a river, right? And I spent a lot of time down at the river hanging out. Neil Young down by the river.
I know. And you guys think it's going to be all majestic, but it was farm runoff, just so you know.
It was the Skunk River.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Anyway, so.
Skunk.
So I threw a lot of sticks in the river in my day. And so when I was having this conversation with said friend, I said, you know, sometimes you throw a stick in the river and it comes right back to you. There could be a current. You throw it out there. It comes right back to you. There's other times you throw that stick in the river and it floats down, maybe goes down. You watch it and then you see it wash up on the shore. Just it went for a little bit and then it washed out. Or sometimes you throw the stick in the river and it goes around the bend and disappears. My point that I had with said friend is stop determining, trying to determine the outcome before you know it. Because if you throw that stick in the river with the whole idea of like, I can control this, I know exactly where this is going, blah, 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 then all you're going to be in is for disappointment. And you're just going to be stressed out to the point you can't handle the situation.
Oh, for sure. And I think a lot of times it's like looking at a book and just looking at the cover and being like, okay, I'm going to try to guess what's going to happen at the end of the book or in the middle of the book. Like, yeah. I'm going
to
try.
Why do you need to know?
Yeah. And I think sometimes you just got to open the book. You got to step in and embrace the change in life and kind of let that story be told. You're making choices in that. And there's things that are unknowns that come, but change is, I mean, it's good. Sometimes it can be bad, but a lot of times that's where growth comes.
Well, yeah. And the first line of that quote is life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Like we think we can determine our outcome, just like Megan talked about at the beginning of the episode. We think we can, you know, before you have kids, you're like, oh, they're going to do this, 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 and this, or, oh, we're never going to do this, or I never. But like all of a sudden there's this huge thing called the unknown. And so I want to talk about embracing the unknown.
Embrace it.
Yeah. Hug it.
I mean, if it's unknown, how do you embrace it, Quinn? Because well, I mean, how do you know what it is?
It means that you're open to it, Megan.
She's like, we're feisty.
So the only thing certain in life is that it's going to change.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to stay in one spot. Like it is, you know, as Tupac said, that's the way it is. That's in the song Changes.
Yeah. Some things will never change.
Yeah. Yeah. Dang it. You know what? Your blasted knowledge of music. Dang it. I thought I was going to pull that one out.
But you know, in all reality, you know, just like we've mentioned it before, but the law of entropy states that everything's going to fall to disorder. So for example, I think Megan and I, and we've talked about this before, but like when we were first married, we laid some things out there that we thought we were being responsible. And it's like we had the opportunity to move to Hawaii and we were like, no, because this is how our life is going to lay out.
Yeah. And we thought that we could like just perfectly lay out chapters. And I think there's a point in your life and everybody's going to have those bumps in the road and it's all going to be different. Like our bumps are going to be different than your bumps and that, but you cannot from the beginning, like tell the whole entire, you know, lay out every chapter of your life and expect it to go exactly according to plan.
For sure. And like we talked about with kids, you know, it's like if you live your life expecting a constant, never changing order. So for example, whether it be kids, whether it be your job, whether it be your marriage, whatever, like I said, if you're expecting consistent and a never changing order, you're in for one big surprise.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of times that is where, you know, being a first time parent, right? I think that's why right off the bat, and I do know people that doesn't rock their world, and they're usually ones that are the oldest in the family that had multiple siblings and that were also super nurturing where they just were like, I love to babysit and hang out. I was not that person. A lot of people I know is, you know, you go about your life, you have this, you know, have your first child and you feel like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what it's going to be like before you have that kid. You read books. It tells you what it should be like. And then this kid comes in the world that has their 100% own personality. They're going to sleep the way, you know, you're trying all these things. And it's totally like your life was turned upside down and you're figuring out a new norm. And then it's one of those that you're like, this is awesome. Like once you figure it out and you get in that groove, but it is a change that is like, it rocks your world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, kind of with being cursed, and I know I, like I said, somebody put some voodoo hex on me somewhere along the line. It's probably some girl I dated in college or something like that. But
well, can I tell a story about you at college at Rick's?
Sure.
The hate squad. It was probably this person. So Quinn went on this date. It was like your second date, right?
Yeah.
He went out with this girl and he kind of like during the date was kind of like, yeah, no, like this.
Well, it's super sweet, super nice girl. It had run its course.
It ran its course. The stick
had washed back up on the shore. And so we get on the doorstep and I'm dropping her off on the date. And she's like, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I've never kissed a boy before. And I didn't know what to say. So I said, me neither.
And
I thought it was cleverly funny.
Yeah. And so she went into her dorm building and her whole entire dorm floor of hot blonde chicks heard her sobbing and you saying, yeah, I've never kissed a girl or a guy too. And Quinn, this was like the first part of the school year, right?
Yeah. So they're
and then walking around campus, he had a hate squad. Like everywhere he went, they would just like,
okay, can I back up and say, I remember walking back to my apartment going, I was so chivalrous. Like I did not take advantage of that young woman. Like I cannot believe that I was like sitting there thinking, I've really grown up. Like I didn't just bust a move to bust a move. I was like, I'm really proud of myself.
And then it came back to haunt you.
And then I'm walking across campus the other day, or I'm walking across campus and like,
you were up there the other day. That's a little creepy.
This pack of women like all flip me off and they're like, F you, Quinn Brown. And I'm like, what did I do? And so anyway.
Yeah. So that was all your rent, the whole entire school year, right? At college. Yeah.
So if anybody's out there and they're on the doorstep and a young woman says, I've never kissed a guy before, the wrong answer is to say me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little concern if it's in the F word nation, but guys, it's okay. It's okay if that is happening in the F word nation. It's cool.
Oh man. Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, I'm pretty sure that's where you were hexed. Like
I was hexed. So I'm cursed. So I'm going to get that out there in the open. So everything I do comes with a line. Like we've talked about, I get pulled out of every security line. I get flagged every single time we fly. It just doesn't matter. I'm just so used to it. But I have found, right, that in life, that if you embrace and basically expect the unknown and anticipate it, you can react to it in a way that won't rock your world. Meaning, like, I just, like, when I get in line, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to pull my bag. They're going to search it. Yeah, I'm going to get pulled out. Yes, I'm going to be the guy that gets pulled over for going 2 miles over the speed limit. Yes, I'm the guy last week that got a parking ticket for paying for my parking stall.
True story.
And the guy going, oh, yeah, sorry, man. I guess you did pay. Like,
yeah, but you got to call in here and go through this whole system.
And I wasn't even mad because I was like, this is totally normal, right?
And a lot of times Quinn has moments where they'll always say, wow, this has never happened before. I'm so sorry. Like they will lose your paperwork or they'll whatever. And Quinn will be like, eh. It's totally normal.
Yeah.
Every once in a while you'll go Hulk, but that's very rare.
Very well. And I think Megan summed this up best when we traveled our first trip with our kids.
Go again, like Megan.
Megan summed this up the best.
Oh, I thought you were saying the best. Anyway, we talked about traveling was the first time we took our kids. It had been a long stint since we flew with them because we had a traumatic experience when we flew with our kids, our two oldest when they were little, and we were like, we're not flying for a while.
Yeah, there was a lot of tears and a lot of armpit sweat.
I was
sweat.
Crying. It was the kind of deal.
And I'm just so, like sitting there sweating, going, please land this plane.
And so it was one that when we had our youngest, Logan, we had a family reunion in Texas. We were like, 28-hour drive?
We're driving.
Not bad. We drove. But anyway, we were traveling, flying with our kids. It had been a while. They're all old enough to kind of carry their suitcase, their backpacks, all that. And they were like just shocked when we got there. Like, right, we're like, had to wait to get, you know, check our bags in and like, you know, all this. And then through security. And I just turned them during security. I'm like, number one rule of traveling, patience. You're not in control.
Yeah, you cannot speed up this
and
line.
I was like, it's the kind of deal that they could come up and say one second to the next, we canceled your flight. And you're like, okay, we're going to the drawing board. Like, it's one of those. It's the uncertainty, but it happens. You got to be willing to roll with the punches as it goes.
Yeah, and I think rolling with the punches just in general in life means not being fixed to ideologies. And I think there's a difference between morality and having a moral compass and a like cultural ideology. And Joe Rogan had a great quote that said, if you attach your mind to an ideology, you're going to be on a road, and that road may or may not lead you in a good direction, but you're going to stay on that road because you're attached to an ideology. It could be a terrible road, but if you stick with it regardless of rational thinking, that can be terrible. Right. So, I mean, it's no different than we talked about, like history, like judging history, like with our eyes in this day and age, is we're looking at it saying like, okay, that ideology never changed. No, there may have been a bad ideology at one point in time, but it means that people were willing to change it. Now, if you think about it, like, are we so attached to an ideology that we know the answer to the question before it's even been asked?
Truth. I think it's one of those that you're asked a question. And I think that goes back to with that ideology is, are you willing to have a conversation, to have your eyes open? And I talk about this all the time with Quinn and my kids. Is one of the most classes that I took in high school that influenced me the most was one of my US government classes. And it was basically, my teacher was so good at his trade that it was one that was such an open discussion and questioning and answering in this open platform to really open up that idea. Because it was like right off the bat, just how we were raised, everyone was like, no, it's this. And then he would ask a question, not telling, to kind of open our mind where we could arrive. And not that it changed everything, but it definitely opened up where you're like, ah, okay. Like, yeah, I don't have the answer right off the bat. I'm going to listen, or I'm going to find research, whatever it may be, if that is your true ideology, or just it's cultural, environmental, and try to figure out your answer, not just what you think it should be.
Yeah, what you think it should be. I think there's a great expression that you hear people say all the time. I think there's even a country song with this name, but Jesus take the wheel.
Jesus take the wheel! Yeah.
So I think there... Whatever the hell that was.
Yeah. that was my country. Yeah, yeah. America. Yeah. No.
No, that was terrible. You totally defecated on my point. But the whole idea of Jesus take the wheel really is to have faith that, hey, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. Jesus, grab the wheel and drive, right? And I think there's so much out of our control that we also just need to be open and willing to say, all right, things are going to go the way they're going to go. And we just need to have a basic faith in our own abilities that we're going to be able to end up where we plan on or would like to be. And I think that comes down a lot of it to change and how we deal with it. Right. So I think embracing change implies that you don't see change as adversity. you know, I think sometimes we look at change, like whether it be moving, you like, oh, this sucks, we have to move to this place. Whereas opposed to that being an adversity, it could be, oh man, this could be a cool opportunity, right? So instead of seeing it change as an adversity, see it as an opportunity to improve yourself or try new things. It's like Megan talked about, you know, having both been athletes, we assume that all of our kids would want to be athletes, but now we're, you know, our oldest is way into the arts. So we're trying to go to more museums, more displays, more cultural events. And so we're learning new things. This also means though, that you can't keep everything under your control.
For sure. Yeah. You can't. Yeah. No. He's looking at me. I'm like, yeah, we can't.
True that. Testify. True.
Testify. Well, and the other thing too is there is that whole, you can't control the changes and all of that, but also it is looking at others. Does that make sense? And there might be someone that you know that they are making a change. It could be with their career, whatever it may be, changes in their life. Is that whole like, I would never. It's that whole statement too of looking at it saying, okay, again, stay in your lane. Those people are making changes in their life for what they feel is going to be best for them. Are you turning your back because you're so set on your, you know,
your ideology?
Yeah, that you're like, well, that is different than this. And so I am not going to support them. Instead of just going and being like, hey, like, I see that you're making these changes in your life. Like what did spur this on? Sure that they would share. And I think that it would, you know, look at it and say, okay, cool. Like, let me support you in it. But I think we're so quick as people to just sit there and be like, oh, this is different than what I'm used to. So
I'm uncomfortable.
So I'm going to judge you and almost like turn my back on people. And I think a lot of times you see it, like you have friends that like they go through a divorce. And it's like people want to kind of almost turn their back because they're like, I don't know what to do. Like your life has changed. It's totally different. And so I think one of those is just looking at saying, okay, this isn't necessarily a change in my life, but I am going to try to be supportive and not judge.
For sure.
The change. So.
For sure. Just like we talked about, you know, we had a whole plan on our kids and what we thought they were going to be. Just like that, we have no idea who we will become in the future, right? There's so many influences, things that can change.
Well, and with that, with Quinn saying is not knowing what our kids will be in the future. That is not saying like, okay, well, we had this dream. It is, I think, is embracing like their true self. Trying to figure out each kid is their future is different, but it is so much brighter than we thought it would be.
Absolutely.
Meaning that it's because it's not us.
Yep.
It is not what we thought. And it's like one of those that I'm like, yeah, dream big, baby girl, or, you know, whatever it may be, because it's something that having that passion and seeing your kids find that passion in their life, you're like, I would have never dreamed of, you know, something so cool and so different. And
well, it's like
I want to support you.
It's like our middle daughter, her favorite thing in the world is dance. Neither of us grew up doing anything.
Yeah.
Like
me
that.
Being a dance mom, I'm like, dude, I don't know what I'm doing. I was like, let's go find a soccer
ball.
But she
loves it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, with that, we have no idea on what we may say yes or what we may say no to. The trick really is to avoid being dogmatic, like we said, living an ideology or being rigid in your never attitude that you'll miss out on what life has to offer, or like try and influence other people on how they should be in their life. The key really is to live your best life and allow yourself to enjoy and learn from the experiences along the way.
Yeah.
And that's all about, you know, living your best effort years is, you know, I think you get into your 40s and you're like, okay, I've kind of been dogmatic and, you know, kind of gone about things. And now I'm starting to say, okay, well, for what? Like, you know, why am I doing this? And I think that's probably one of the best parts about hitting your 40s and 50s is you start asking like the, okay, you know, this is what I thought I should do. And I think you hit your effort years and you're saying, okay, now why am I doing these things as opposed to should? It's like Megan and I did not move to Hawaii because we said we should save money to buy a house. We never asked why. We did it out of should.
Yeah. And so enjoy the ride, embrace change instead of fearing it. So look at it, face it, and realize that no matter what, there is change that's going to happen in your life. So if you just sit there with that whole never, you know, that will never happen to me, then I think a lot of times, I mean, maybe it's me being superstitious. I think sometimes world has a funny way of coming around on certain things to just be like, let me prove you wrong. You know?
Oh, that's what you thought?
Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. So it's just like,
what did the hand, as Dave Chappelle said, what did the hand say to the face?
Slap. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just one of those, it's not on everything, but I do think there, I think if you get too high up on your high horse, I think sometimes, like I said, the universe.
This would have been a really good time for you to, when you're speaking of horses, maybe to do your hee-haw or whatever. Whatever the hell that was.
I think our listeners will appreciate my twang.
Yeah, that was like Howard Dean when he was like, we're going to go to Iowa. We're going to go, wee-wah-ha!
A cuckoo-doo-doo.
A cuckoo-doo-doo-doo. A cuckoo-doo. Ca-ca.
That's from Arrested Development. Yeah. I don't know how we switch.
Yeah, if you really want to laugh your arse off, YouTube Arrested Development and chicken noises.
Yeah, they everyone in the family has their own chicken interpretation. And Quinn and I, well, and our oldest, huge fan of Arrested Development. To the point, Quinn and I went as the Fugees.
Yeah, I went as a Never Nude.
Never Nude. Yeah, and I wore my Shamali shirt. So if you don't know what that is, like, clear your schedule. Let's watch it.
Getting back to enjoying the ride and embracing the change, give yourself permission to be okay with change. Like, don't be so dogmatic about it. Like, if something comes into your life and you sit there and be like, you know, it's like we've talked about in past episodes about identity. I've always done this. Doesn't mean that you can't change it. It's like family traditions. I grew up always having a big Thanksgiving dinner that we made at home. And one year,
is this about the white Christmas lights? Cause I feel like 21 years later, this is still, when we first got married, it was our first Christmas. And Quinn was like, so what color lights do you want on the Christmas tree? And I was like, excuse me, there is only one light that you put on the tree, and that is a white light. And he was like, can we have it flashing? And I was like, no.
And I think I referred to you as,
you called me boring whitey.
I said old boring whitey xenophobe.
And so it's the kind of deal that it is. That is me not embracing change. But Quinn, on the outside of our house, I'm like, why don't we do white lights? He's like, mm-mm. Outside of the house, that's my domain. We're doing colored lights.
Yeah. So, anyway. But the point being is, and I know this is such a simple example of this, but growing up almost with a rigid ideology is we always did Christmas Eve the way that we always did it. We do a big dinner at home, kind of cook all day. And then one year we said, well, hey, Snow Basin does a dinner up there. Let's go up there instead of doing a big dinner at home and all of that. And we totally did it.
And it was one of those that we did it the first year
with a bit of apprehension. Almost.
Yeah. We were like, oh, is this going to feel like, and it was one of those that I kind of talked to Quinn and I'm like, instead of cooking all day, why don't we go spend the day with our kids? And so now we ski all day. We come down and then we have a nice dinner all together, watch fireworks. They do, you know,
we go home.
Yeah. And then we come home and do all this stuff. And then on Christmas Day, we cook a new meal, like a big meal. But that is so opposite of both our families.
Yeah. And so we grew up with this.
My family was a big dinner Christmas Eve.
Yeah, this certain tradition and dogma. And we carried it on thinking, okay, that's just the way it is. And then we were open to change. And because we were open to change, we had this crazy fun experience. And not saying that like one way is better than the other, but just being willing and open, we experience that. And I know that seems like such a simple example, but it's just one to show like, hey, don't always be so rigid. Don't always be just because it was that way. It is so.
Yeah. Say it ain't so.
Say it ain't so.
Say it ain't so. Well, guys, remember, never say never It is one of those that life has a way of coming around. So embrace the change. Enjoy the ride.
Yeah, it'll get you. Everybody, have yourselves a fantastic week. Be kind and please share our episode with others.
And stay classy.